Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I have dreamed a dream of every common man, hoping to rise to the top. I have sworn by my blood, as your man, my love, that one day, I promise one day your heartache would stop. But I've never, 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 never changed. I've never changed one single grain of sand. Oh, thanks to you, baby. Just love in a common man. I want to thank you this evening. Oh, I thought that I felt you so. But that's when you turned around and looked me in the eyes and you let me know. You said, and you said it softly, I didn't have to worry about being a common man. You said, David, you don't have to worry about rising to the top. You said, I didn't have to swear by my blood. But oh baby, that one day your heartache would stop. Then you put your arms around me and you said, you never, 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 never cared. If I never change one single grain of sand, you said, I love. Common man. Well, my gratitude just keep on growing. Yeah, for recognizing me. I thank you, baby. Yeah, for respecting me. Yeah, I'm gonna thank you, baby. For every time of need. That was the incomparable David Ruffin. Greetings, my family. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad, who is the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, who has come to us and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, the prophets, and the messengers of God that ever lived. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble Elijah Muhammad, and I bear witness that he is the greatest of the messengers of God. Now, we're going to go right into this, but I want to say some things to you as we start the show. If you get disconnected, call back in. If you can't get back in, hold on a few seconds and then call back in, almost like refreshing your screen. The same goes for you who are listening via computers and all of that technology there. If your URL goes out, refresh your screen, come back in. I'm having problems right now also. I've had to restart my computer twice minutes before the show and get back on this thing. So I just want you to know that we're going through those kind of troubles as always, and a few clips were deleted. So, but this is something that we always go through. And as Brother Rashid told me last night, the brother said, they treat me like Charlie Brown. They put the football down as soon as I get ready to kick it. They take it away from me. And I bear witness. That's why we haven't been having a lot of shows. It's because I've been having problems with Blog Talk Radio. Also, I've been having some problems with YouTube doing the Red Pill Diaries, but we're going to be doing a live Red Pill Diary sometime this weekend, either tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday, one of these days. Also, I wasn't supposed to be doing the show today. My wife told me I could have done the show any other day. My kids, they told me the same thing. It's my birthday. I thank Allah for allowing me to see another year around the sun. All praises due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I thank you all for being a part of this show. I thank you all for supporting the show, whether with words, whether with finances, whether with just spreading the word about the show. Thank you so much. And everybody, good or bad, who has been a part of this journey, I want to thank you because it's been an awesome ride from zero to a million in seconds. Thank you all. Now, the show is titled, The U.S. Empire is Playing Russian Roulette with All Chambers Loaded. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that she's in such a dire and desperate situation that she is reaching in every direction trying to maintain her grip. Remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that America was the most troubled nation on earth. And she would be troubled trying to keep her reign and her rule over the peoples of the world. I'm going to share a few clips with you all today. But it's one in particular that I'm going to share with you. And I believe it's about a 10-minute clip that I'm going to share with you somewhere down the line in the show. And in this clip, Mohammed Mirandi, who is a professor at, I think, Tehran University in Iran, and who was born in America, but he is Iranian through lineage or whatever. And in this clip that I'm going to play down the road, not yes yet, but I want to inform you, in this clip, when you hear him talking, he's being interviewed by Rania Kalek, I believe that's her name. And I might be butchering it because I'm not really sure her name. But when you listen to this clip, he's going to talk about the stuff that I told you about, the stuff that you heard Rashid talk about, the stuff that you heard Brother Gerald talk about, the stuff that you've heard us bring before you about the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And very, very peculiar about the clip that I have for you concerning him is that he lays out the collapse of America, the fall of America. And he talks about how this fall would happen if America attacks Iran. And how Russia and China would act in their spheres of influence, and how it would lead to the complete collapse of not just the American empire, but the fall of America. And it's the exact same thing that we've been telling you about since we've been on air. It's the exact same thing. And as I often say to you, did Elijah Muhammad come around to their thinking and their thoughts and their way of looking at things, or did time and circumstance and world events bring them around to Elijah Muhammad? Proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that this man was a forerunner. He's a forerunner. He is an excellent teacher in reality. But see, you can't see down the wheel of time like he could. So you dismissed what he said. You made mock, and then you were entertained by the foolishness of what they call scholars of the day. So you dismissed the man who could see further down the street than you could. And now you have put your family in jeopardy of passing that stop sign in the middle of all of this fogginess that's going on in America and around the globe. And you may be hit by a head-on collision if you don't put on those, what they call fog lights or smog lights, which is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which can see further down the road than the average car light. We're in a precarious situation here in America. And let me read something to you. This is short, but it's going right to the point. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, the time that we are living in now, listen, now, not yesteryear, now is the judgment of white folks. And America is number one. God has made the whole world turn against America in order to destroy her. So when you see America losing her position in South and Central America, and China displacing her there, that is prophecy. When you see Africa rising for itself and turning towards the East and forging partnerships with Russia and China and other nations that are not European or colonial nations, that is prophecy. When you see the buildup for war in Europe and the buildup for war in Asia, in the Middle East. That's prophecy. That is Allah turning the entire world against America. Not only are they, the nations are now fed up with American policy, they're fed up with her culture. They're fed up with her dollar. They're fed up with her hypocrisy and double standards. Right? They are even fed up with the technology and all of the strings that come along with you getting American technology. See, this has been bubbling over the last 50, 60 to 70 years. And it is now bubbling over and spilling all across the entire planet. The world is moving into another direction. I bet you some of you didn't know, and we put this on Patreon the other day. I bet you some of you didn't even know that China has already deployed their powerful air defense systems, which are an analog of the most advanced version of the Russian S-300 air defense systems. I bet you didn't even know that China has already deployed those plus some other air defense systems to Morocco. They are now deployed 31 miles away from the Moroccan capital. You didn't know that, did you? Do you not see that everywhere that this white American man is, that China is chasing him down? In Djibouti, a couple of miles from the U.S. base in Djibouti, Africa, China has a large naval base right there. This is no coincidence. Who told you that? Was it Rashid Muhammad? Nope. I parroted it. Who did I parrot it from? The last messenger of God, when he said that this yellow man of Asia would chase down this American white man in every field that he once dominated in. That's his destiny. We're watching this in real time. China just comes out with a, and I want to, the reason I lay this stuff out to you is because other people don't or can't. But all of this stuff has everything to do with prophecy. Did you know that China just came out with a new engine for 1111? Hold up 1 second. China just came out with a new engine, stealth engine for submarines. It's the most powerful engine in the world. Remember a year or 2 years ago that America and the West mocked China? Oh, yeah, she keeps coming out with these advanced warplanes and advanced ships, but she got to borrow a Russian engine, right? And now she has gone into overdrive in production of her fifth-generation warplanes with domestic engines. We told you this was coming. China, in one day, I'm talking about tomorrow, which is probably a couple hours from right now, China will become the engine to the global economy. It's already, in words, it's already that, but it will become even more the center of the global engine of economics because of the deal with RCEP that goes into effect tomorrow. You didn't even know that, did you? And if this goes into effect tomorrow, it displaces America as the center of the global economy. Now you see why America is stoking tensions with Taiwan. Now you see why America is stoking tensions with Russia. Now you see why she's up in the ante with Iran. When Iran and China and Russia are meeting before Iran and the Europeans in America in Vienna for the JCPOA meeting. Now you see that? These surrounding nations, all of these other nations are there, right? And they turned on America. This is why I tell you that the U.S. empire is playing Russian roulette with all chambers loaded. The one thing that lies at the core of all of her problems is you and I, the mistreatment of you and I. And the world is seeing it. We fight in her wars. We don't get an equal share in her politics. We fight in her wars. We don't get an equal share in her economics. We fight in her wars. Can't even enjoy the fruit of our own labor. We're beaten down in the streets. We're victimized and we're looked at as criminals in America. You're not a criminal as long as you're doing criminal activity for America in lands far away. But as soon as you walk on the wrong street, Soon as you play your music too loud. Soon as you offend someone. You're a criminal. You're a thug. Right? And it's ironic. In the interview, the entire interview with Mohammed Mirandi, he even brings up the situation in Iran, in the entire world, and how the liberals in Iran and the what they call conservatives in Iran are going at it. The liberals are the ones who want to be integrated into the Western world, and the conservatives are the ones who want to turn east. Now, this is not in the, I don't think this part is in that clip, because I wanted this clip that I cut for you to prove something to you. But in that, in the clip that I'm talking about now, he makes a reference to it being similar to the house Negro, field Negro aspects of the day. And you can see when he brought this up, because I'm bringing this up for a reason, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we, because of the way America treats us, the whole world will look at her in a different manner. The whole world. And so he is equating our situation with the Iranian situation and how the people who have the good interests of Iran want to turn away from the Western world because of so much hypocrisy and arrogance and double standards. And he equates that to the situation that is the house Negro and the field Negro. Elijah Muhammad told you that was going to happen. This is no coincidence. Now, I want to read a few things. I want to get these clips in, but I'm going to go to the lines. Please stay on subject, whoever. The 111-111-111, please make your comments brief, and I'm going to bring you in right now. You want to start on Crescent Report with your Cyberspace family? We stand to you. As-salamu alaykum.
Hi there, brother. How are you?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
I'm okay. Looking at the world, my name is Hotep. I think we all look at the world in different ways. Some of us look at it in a secular way. So it's more like, what is America doing? What is Russia doing? What is China doing? And in all those regions, including Saudi Arabia, I think the elite and financially wealthy exploit most of the other people. And there's another way we could look at it from a Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christian perspective, Budan, et cetera. And from that perspective, I think we often choose the region that replicates our religious thinking, and we may defend that. And then there are other people that kind of look at it, taking all of that into account. But I think in the big picture, darker humans everywhere face extensive oppression, and it isn't like we have a friend anywhere until we friend ourselves, meaning the nationalistic flags and other ideologies aren't necessarily working and haven't worked for us since Alexander the Great conquered Egypt. So if we don't cross these lines and say, look, I'm Christian, you're Muslim, I'm atheist, you're Chinese, but we all have dark skin, how about we keep certain things to ourselves? And when it comes to our survival, say, listen, let's open a bank, let's open a school, let's open a clinic. Otherwise, I don't know if us as darker people will survive, because everyone seems to be exploiting us for their own gain, and we are the most faithful in everything that we do. You know, so hopefully we can survive. Thanks, bro.
Thank you for your comment. Now, two darker people of the world are being exploited, but let's be more specific. More than any people on the planet, black people are being exploited. See, we can't tiptoe around that. All darker people are being exploited, but none to the degree of black people, no matter where you look at around the globe. We are the most hated. We are the most abused, misused. If you look to the Middle East, the white Arabs or the non-black Arabs treat black Arabs and black Muslims worse than they treat anybody, right? When the fall of Libya took place, people who lived right next door to their black neighbors who treated them as friends put them in cages. Put them in cages. So When we say that we have to be honest and we have to look at it with a proper perspective, all of the darker peoples are being exploited, but none to the extent and to the level of black people. And that's the first thing. Second thing, the reason that unity has not worked, because everybody has tried everything but the right thing. We think we know everything. We think we know better than – I'll say this. Okay, I tell you, if you come to me and we're talking, and there's 10 of us, and each day, all 10 of us have something to say, but that 10th one is telling you, listen, don't go down the street today. It's flooded. Go the other way. But you ignore them, and you go down the street, and you get flooded. And they follow after that. You don't get in your car. I saw somebody out in your car. They put sugar in your tank. Don't go, and then they put something under that. You go out there, boom, your car explodes. The next day, that person tells you, hey, look, I was staying in the house. I saw police down there brutalizing and victimizing these people. Don't do that. You go down there and do that because you think you know better, right? What the point I'm trying to make to you is that we have to give some credence to a person who have got it, who's gotten it right constantly, not just in national politics, not just in national cultural debate, not just in international affairs, but all of it, science, history, mathematics, all of this. And when you put that, when you look at Elijah Muhammad and you put him on a scale of facts, you have to say, okay, how did this man understand and know these things that the world is now coming in? What is the greatest fad today on the internet? OMAD, how to lose weight, right? 1 meal a day. Where did they get that from, right? If you look at mixed martial arts and you look at boxing and you see the people coming to the ring with the entourage, where did they get that from? They got it from the underworld. See, a lot of if we minimize him and say, oh, we need to just compromise on this to make this happen. Let me tell you something. If we compromise on truth, there will never be any unity amongst us, because when you are telling the truth, you are making love. You are in love. You are showing love to the people, regardless if they don't want it, regardless if they don't accept it or can't perceive it. If you say something over and over again, and at first people mock you and people don't get it, later down the line when events line up and it shows the people, hey, look, what he said was true, then it's on you that the unity didn't happen. It's on you that the building of a nation didn't happen. This is what I'm saying. A lot of us, we like to minimize this stuff, and we like to resign it to religion. Well, Elijah Muhammad, he talked on religion. He talked on theology. He talked on science. He talked on economics. He talked on world politics. He talked about geopolitics. He talked about national politics. And he gave a blueprint. Now, for our good brother who called in, I want to show you something, okay? Because this goes right in line with what the show is. Now, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us a way out of this, he says, I am the door. You don't get in out except through me. And some of us, we just threw it away. We thought it was just nonsense, or we thought he was just trying to be something other than what he really is. And then we chalked this up to all this other stuff. Now, let me get to something. As Elijah Muhammad comes on the scene, he takes on an entire government, right? I want to put this in perspective because we overlook this stuff. He takes on an entire government. And if we look at how the government dealt with other independent black organizations, other independent people, they killed them. They didn't kill Elijah Muhammad. He told them they weren't going to kill him. They didn't do it. Evidently, it was something in the weight of the words that he spoke that they recognized and they respected. When Elijah Muhammad went to the Capitol, they escorted him with a military, a police escort, right? They didn't do that to any other man, not Garvey, not Drew Ali, not the Black Panthers, not anybody. The government took a presidential escort for him twice. So evidently it was something to the weight of the word. See, they understood. We did. Why? Because he was sent to us. And a lot of times when we have value in our midst, we overlook that value because we say, oh, that nigga just like me. He don't know no more than I do. He's no better than me. And that stands in the way of progression. because we don't like to accept right guidance from someone who looks like us, because we still don't care what kind of names you have, Muhammad or Imhotep or whatever. A lot of times we're still trapped in the Eurocentric mind of how we process historical events, how we process all this. Matter of fact, now that I'm speaking on that, if you go listen to the lecture by Muhammad Morandi, he even speaks about that. And he talks about how the Eurocentric mind has dominated the people and has invaded the cultures of others. And we don't even realize. And that's, and so when you look at events, when you look at the pyramids, you process it through the learning that you got from their schools. That's the wrong way to process it. But I'm getting something. On the unification and the well-being of black people around, black people can't die. Listen to me good. I want to make this very, very clear to everybody. We are the mothers and fathers of all life, period. The white people, the brown people, the red people, and the yellow people, their scientists even know this. We're not going nowhere. That we are that what they call the alphas and the omegas. We are the first and we are the last, if there is to be a last. I know things seem bad right now. And most of you who do not have a deep theological understanding of what's going on, we look at it at a very, very dire situation, and we say, this is going on, and this is, and if this don't happen, we're not going to survive. But those of us who have a deeper understanding of what is going on and why these events are taking place, we understand that these events are necessary to go on, because they are following a pattern of prophecy. And what is going on is the world is being cleansed. I want you to understand it. So from that to this, because I'm jumping around, I want to say a whole bunch of things because I got to get back to this topic here. So I'm going to jump to this on the situation with our unity, our economics, our independence. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us in a book called Message to the Black Man. He gave us he narrowed down his recommendations and his requirements for us to become a unified, a successful and independent nation. He gave us that. All of the people, did you ever implement it? No. Why? Because we thought we knew better. Now, and to prove what I'm saying to you is that when the messenger gave us the 3-year economic program, the program actually was the 5-year economic program. But he feared the patience of black America and blacks around the world. Now, what does this have to do with our economic progress, our unity as a nation, our progression as a nation, as black people? The Chinese sent in a reporter, an investigative journalist, to speak with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to question the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's on record. You can go find it. You can go listen to this, okay? When she arrived, the messenger said nothing was off limits to her. The messenger gave her answers to every question that she asked. And he talked, and they were really concerned about economics. The messenger talked about it. Now, I want you to understand. Mao Zedong, one of the dumbest Americans in the West, thought, okay? When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad introduced the 5-year economic program and slimmed it down to the 3-year economic program, the Chinese, they wasn't bickering and arguing with each other on who knew the most and who knew this and who can do this and who can do this. You know what the Chinese did? The Chinese took the 5-year economic program. The Chinese did it. And if you think I'm lying, go to their government website where they constantly do a 5-year economic program where they plan for 5 years. And what they did, they implemented that. And at the time when they implemented, they were one of the poorest nations on the earth. They had just suffered from a massive famine where millions of people had died. They were not even considered a relevant military power because they had no navy or no air force of something. Now let's fast forward it to today. By implementing that back then, because they saw the wisdom of Elijah Muhammad, Look at China today. They tried Elijah, but we didn't even try it because we arrogant. We don't want guidance from each other. We want to think that all of us are on the same level. Like Brother Rashid and I always joke. The black man said, "Well, you don't know as much as I do. He put on his pants one leg at a time just like I do." That's how we look at each other. But the Chinese saw the wisdom of Elijah Muhammad, and they implemented his five-year economic program. And look at them today. They have the largest economy in the world by purchasing power parity, which will soon overtake the United States. In every other aspect, they have the largest, five largest banks in the world. They have the two fastest supercomputers in the world. They have the largest navy in the world. They're about to have the largest air force in the world. They have the largest military in the world. They have the largest army in the world. And they have now gone from a mockery as a nation by the West to what the West deems as their greatest threat economically, politically, and militarily. This is by implementing sound reasoning. If we had implemented sound reasoning and the program was tailor-made for us, if the Chinese could do that with a five-year program that was not really made for them, think about if we got off our high horse and did what we were supposed to do. Huh? And think about how far we could have progressed under those circumstances. So, to put it bluntly, we've tried everything else and nothing worked. Now, I try the best. That's the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We ain't going nowhere. We baby kids. We don't die. We multiply. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, brothers and sisters, right along the subject, the U.S. empire is playing Russian roulette with all chambers loaded. The nations are moving against us. Let's go to message to the black man, since I brought that up earlier. In message to the black man, and I often tell you this, when you read Elijah Muhammad's teachings, he is speaking to the people at the time who had been in the mud, downtrodden. And so when you hear him say things, if he says it again, and if he says it again, you must take note of that, because he is trying to have my point home to you. That's why when you look at Message to the Black Man, and then you read Fall of America, there are specific chapters, a few chapters, that came up in Message to the Black Man that also came up in Fall of America. Why would he put these certain chapters, let's just say four chapters, I'm just throwing something out there, just saying it like that, just to run with something. Why would he put the same four chapters with other chapters in Message to the Black Man and do the same thing in Fall of America? It is that he wants your eye to focus on something. He is trying to give you something that other people overlook. He's trying to show you something of the utmost importance for our safety, our welfare, and our health and well-being. All right? So in this chapter, which is both in the Fall of America and Message to the Black Man, it is titled The Resurrection of Our People. And in it, it says, the old world must be removed to make way for the new world. Now stop right there. So what you're seeing going on right now, and our brother who listened and who so graciously commented on the show, we thank him for his comments. What you see going on now is a struggle for preeminence that's going on right now. The old world of Yaqub is going out, and a new world based on you and I is coming in. And these two worlds are clashing because, according to science, no two objects can occupy the same space at the same time. Right? So the old world, which has occupied rulership, and we cannot deny that this white man, his world, he has dominated, as the Bible gives him dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and every creeping thing that crawleth upon the earth. We can see that he has exercised that authority to the very letter and spirit, because he can go under the water, right, and do magnificent things. He can go up into the air and command the space above you, right? Anything that walks on the earth, he has exercised great authority and power over. Am I not telling you the truth? Huh? Right now, as they say in the street, piss him off. See what happens to you. Since everything is equal, piss this white man off. Make him mad. And see what happens. He exercises the authority that was given him. He being the ruler of the world, he demands total obedience, or else all war. Is that not right? Iran has made him mad. What is he doing to Iran? Syria made him mad. What is he doing to Syria? Right? Look at what's going on in the North Horn of Africa. Look at what's going on when this rising Chinese is coming at him. Look what he's doing. He's positioning and stationing troops and weapons and radars and warplanes and warships everywhere along his coastline. Right? He's trying to exercise dominion because he is the God of this world. Thing about that is, the divine time for that dominion is up. And this is why we're seeing so many problems escalate around the world. This is why we're seeing so much death and destruction. Because a great deal of the population of the planet Earth must be removed. A lot of you don't want to hear that. Because they don't want right guidance and they don't want nothing right. Some of us have become so fickle that we won't accept right guidance because we think we know everything. And we won't accept guidance from people who we think are beneath us because we think we got it all. Huh? You see that play out in your family. You see that play out in your neighborhood. You see that play out like all over the black community, right? We don't want to accept right guidance from each other. So there must be an awakening. This is what them dry bones had to go through. Huh? Right? Those dry bones, no matter what took place, the dry bones would not get life in them. What brought life to the dry bones? Huh? Talk to me. What brought life to the dry bones? Because even as Ezekiel talked to these bones, even when they stood up, reaching for stuff, when it talks about the standing up, it's talking about all of these black movements. All of these so-called push for self, standing up, right? And then, as that brother said, you know, we haven't progressed. Why? Because no life was in the movement, right? So it took the winds of war. Destitution had to come to you. Poverty had to come to you. The loss of life and the loss of loved ones had to come to you, right? The rejection by the system that you want to secretly integrate into you had to come. And you had to be cornered where there was nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to run. And when you were cornered and you had to look at the truth as it is and not how you would like it to be, that's when the light came into the dry bones. And as they stood up, when they got the life in them, they stood up an exceedingly great army. See, at first it looked real bad and real treacherous because they was suffering violence in the neighborhood. They were suffering police brutality. They were suffering disunity. They were suffering all of this is a byproduct of Western and European thinking. All of this suffering that is going on in our neighborhood. It's because the eerie atmosphere of Yaqub's world permeating all the way down to our soul because we have accepted this man to be a god and we don't even acknowledge it. We've accepted him as that. I'm going to get some white folks on you. When you get mad, don't you say that? Woo! This is real. So going on in all of these neighborhoods and around America, and it looks very bad. But a lot of that death and violence is the result of the rejection of Elijah Muhammad when he was president. For your rejection of God's last messenger, the book tells you that. That God would plague the people. He would force them to recognize him. This is what the book talks about. When every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. This is what it's talking about. Because you had the freedom to do so and you wouldn't do it. So now God is taking that freedom and he's forcing you to look at his truth. Huh? You didn't look at it like that, did you? You didn't see it in that area. Because you were clouded by Eurocentric processing in your brain. Even though you wanted to be black and you wanted to move toward blackness and you took a black name and you rejected a white name, you still had that deep down in you. Because it has been ingrained in us for nearly 5 centuries. And sometimes it clogs up the mind. Therefore, we must be purged. And the purging is taking place right now. Whether you like it or not, the purging is taking place right now. The police brutality, the disunity, white people, the Karens jumping up in your face. You see how bold they are today? Brothers and sisters, they're walking in the street protesting. Our mama Saladin said, brother, the messenger told us. When this stuff started taking place, don't go out there in those streets protesting. This white man will be hurting, and he will be hurting bad. And as always, as he suffers problems, he always looks to the one thing that is tried and true, that so-called American Negro. So he wants to vent his anger that God is chastising him. See, he can't make war with God, so he tries to make war with God through God's people. Right? See, you have to have an understanding of the times. I say this all the time, and it is proven to be more and more correct each and every day. Without the understanding and the knowledge of the time and what must be done in that time, you can have all of the wisdom that the world offers. And it will be useless for you because you didn't accept right guidance. Right? It is similar to this. And I'm going to give you an example. You know I'm the king of examples. So listen. All of us are in a class together. Right? And the teacher gives out the syllabus. Some of us gets it right away. Some of us have to work hard to get the syllabus and just figure out how to execute the stuff that she wants done. Some of us, we just don't do it because we didn't accept what she said. Oh, that's unfair. Oh, that's unjust. Oh, we didn't want that. I'm a protest. This is the same thing. That's when wisdom comes, that's what happens. And they were not divided until the right guidance came to them out of envy amongst themselves, right? That's what's going on. So, again, we go right on back to this article, The Resurrection of Our People, and that first sentence, the old world be removed to make way for a new world. Surely if a man has ruled his kingdom for so long and ruled it with an iron fist and ruled it how he wants to do without any opposition that was viable to his rulership, and then another one comes up to take the reins of the rulership, surely there's going to be a fight. The one who is ruled is not just going to give up his kingdom. And the one who is rightful to be the heir wants his kingdom, and he's going to fight to take his kingdom. Right? So this is what we have. Two worlds fighting. Two worlds. One is trying to maintain itself and try to stave off sudden collapse, and a new world coming in that must forge its own way with its own wisdom and not the limited wisdom of the rulers before, right? So he goes and says this. The old world must be removed to make way for the new world. There is a universal struggle being waged by the old world against the beginning of the new world. So this is not no city to city, state to state, coast to coast war going on. This is not no hemispheric war going on. This is not even a global battle going on for the domination of life on the planet Earth and in the universe. There is a universal war or struggle underway. That's why the white man is sending telescopes and rockets and spaceships up there. That's why he wants to explore these planets. Remember, I remember when Elijah Muhammad was teaching you about the life on the planet in our solar system. We laughed. Black man laughed at that. The white man didn't. And Elijah Muhammad told you about the life on Mars, and he told you about the life on Venus and Mercury. And we laughed about that, right? And we all, them planets too close to the sun, right? Oh, they can't possibly have life. That was our meager thinking because we were encapsulated in Eurocentric thinking. Now the white man comes out and says, they believe that life is possible on Venus. They have signs that there's life on Venus and Mars and Mercury. But you turn and you accept that, but without ever apologizing for doubting the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When he told you that first, that shows me that you're still wrapped up in white supremacy. You will accept it out of the mouth of NASA and these governments, but you won't accept it out of the mouth of a man who was brought up the same way you were brought up. And this is what's causing all of the trouble, all of the division, all of the suffering in Black America. The rejection of God. If you reject God's wisdom and you reject God's ambassador, guess what you do? You become an enemy to God. I continue to tell you that. The same with the Israel thing. Our Black people crying in church over Israel. Oh, Israel and this and this and this. And they don't even understand this right in scripture before them. When they talk about how Jacob or Yaqub in Arabic stole the blessing of Esau. First of all, you're a thief. If you took something that didn't belong to you, and especially when you took it by way of deception, you're a thief and you're a liar. Right? If we apply the same standards to everybody else that we apply to, if we do that and apply it to Israel or Jacob, then we say that Jacob or Israel is a liar and a thief, right? So dancing here and dancing there because I got to connect so much because there's so much stuff out here that has to be talked about, and I'm going to connect it all. You know how we do this. But listen, in the book, it talks about Jacob hiding and ambushing the angel of God. Now, remember that the angel of God is the ambassador from God. He goes and delivers the message that God wants to convey to that certain person or people, right? So Jacob stuck up the angel of God and held him against his will, meaning that he held him against God's will. So that makes him an enemy, right? And not only did he do that, he stole from the angel, which means he stole from the person that sent the angel, which means he stole from God. Now, by any metric of common sense and rational thinking, one could conclude or should conclude that from those actions by Jacob could not be the chosen people of God. They must be the enemies of God because they proved that they were the enemies of God by sticking up the ambassador of God and taking the blessings from that ambassador of God that did not belong to them. And after they did that, the angel said, listen, I got to go. Daylight is coming. And the angel and Jacob said, I'm going to hold you. You sing it in the church. I'm going to hold you. And I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And after tussling back and forth, and the angel had to get on time, he said, okay, I'm going to bless you. From this point, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, thou shalt be called Israel. Israel is not a good name. Israel, contrary to what you have been taught, is an evil name. It is the name of the thief, the liar, and the stick-up kid who stuck up the angel of God and stole the goods from the angel of God that was sent by God. Read your book if you think I'm lying. Huh? So you black people who are crying and moaning in church about Israel when your own people are suffering, you crazy as hell. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. But this is the situation we are in under an atmosphere of Eurocentricity. Okay? Therefore, God turns the nations against America every turn. Brother Rashid, I'm going to bring you in, and then I'm going to go to these clips. I see your hand up, so let me bring you in real quick. I say unto you, my good brother, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. There you
yes,
go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Go ahead.
Let's go a little bit further than that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that Jacob was wrestling with the angel of God. This means when the white man was being created or grafted 6,000 years ago in Arabia, the angel was the black government at that time, that he was fighting with to get black out of white. And through 600 years of grafting, that's how the white man came about. That's black and white fighting against each other 6,000 years ago in order to bring about the white man. The scholars say that the white skin came a couple of years ago we were saying that's about 6,000 years ago. Somehow the white pigmentation came on the planet. But they never want to admit that it was designed and it was made. And what the brother was saying across the about black and being subjected to white, that's what the whole thing is about. It was laid out. Now Elijah Muhammad teaching us for an experiment. And he allowed this man to be created and to try us. The scriptures say that God, he was given dominion. As he was saying,
right?
He was given these things to do. And he was allowed to try his rule, which is an evil rule, like you were saying. If you steal something, then that means you are a thief. And how in the world can God's people be thieves? When they say that the scripture, he can make a fool out of you. You got these poor black people around the world howling and hooping about Israel this and Israel. And Israel admits that they are thieves and robbers. But in the white man's world, God is just as evil as the devil. And the devil is just as good as the devil or God. So it's really there's no difference between the two. But as the message teaches us, that God being of good, he cannot fall prey to the devil's attributes one time. If you catch God telling a lie one time, then he's just as like the white man. He's just as evil as the devil. But he cannot do any of the attributes of the devil, lying, cheating, stealing, robbing, and doing that. And if you can't do any of those things, how can Israel be God's people?
I like to piggyback. Fun and kid, I like to piggyback off that. My mom always say God can do everything except two things. He can do all things except two things. And the two things that God cannot do is lie and fail. Those two things are out of his comprehension. So, again, we are living in a world that is dying out and another world coming in. Now, as I was saying earlier in the show, without the standing of the time, and I don't care what we talk about, the most important thing is the time. Without an understanding of the time and what we should expect in the time and what we must do and prepare for in the time, we become like journeymen sometimes and we get out of time. And sometimes when we're out of time, we meet our demise or our doom. right? Like when somebody's running late for something, and they decide they got to speed. They got, I'm running 20 minutes later. Because they were not on time. They did not prepare themselves to be at a certain place on time. So they run behind time, and sometimes they make a mistake, and it costs them significantly. This is what I'm talking about today. We have wisdom. We have knowledge. Some of us have certain types of understanding. But we have some of us have the all-encompassed understanding of the divine supreme being. I tell my African brothers, and I tell my brothers who learn the comedic religion and learn this and learn that, when you learn it and you find out that this scholar wrote this book and this scholar wrote that book, well, how did those scholars come by the learning? They came out of the schools of white people. So no matter how much they reach for blackness, it is still tainted by the aura of white supremacy. So we still can't completely get the truth out of it, because the white man will never give you 100% the truth. He always going to throw a curveball in it. So when you're looking at things from his perspective, notice that there is always a slant in it, right? To give you what I'm talking about in an example, because this goes to the heart of what we're talking about today, about the U.S. empire playing Russian roulette with all chambers loaded. This white man will get on TV and tell you, we are not going into Syria. No, we have no plans on it. Then a week later, he'll be in Syria and say, we have no plans on staying in Syria. Then 3 years later, we're there to protect such and such from ISIS. We're trying to clean up ISIS. Didn't fight ISIS one bit when they was moving on Damascus. But when Syria got the upper hand on ISIS, they're going to fly in their plane, right? And the white man says, we're there to fight terror. Now listen, he tells you that's that Orwellian doublespeak. He'll tell you he's there to fight terror. But have you ever noticed that before he arrives to the place, that the terror was not there? Al-Qaeda wasn't in Iraq before America bombed them. Al-Qaeda wasn't in Syria before America bombed them. The leader, Muammar Gaddafi, warned the entire world at an international conference that if you kill me, you will have Al-Qaeda running ramshot all across Africa and in Europe. In America, in France, and all the rest of them killed him, right? Why would they do that, knowing that he gave them the information that proved what he was saying? It's because they were going to benefit from it. They are the beneficiaries of spreading terror. It gives them their modus operandi. It gives them their plausus belli. It gives them their reason to occupy foreign land and to justify the eyes of their own population. Now, what is amazing about this is that when America has war games or she's gaming certain things on her own territory and she has foreign troops there, the American people are outraged. And they say this is an affront to their sovereignty. But they have no problems occupying dozens of other nations. Right? You see, this is the mind frame of the Eurocentric mind. What's right for me is not right for you. I can kill, and every time I kill, it's a mistake, or it's in the name of freedom, or it's justifiable. But if you defend yourself and you kill the occupiers, you kill the people who are killing your people, you terrorists. Man, that's crazy as hell. And if you accept that kind of thinking, you crazy as hell. You understand? But we are in a crazy, crazy, mad, sick world. And the leadership is crazy and effed, sick, and mad. They are sociopathic, psychotic almost. Because the empire must exist off the blood of others, the exploitation of others. This is America. So, again, as I said to you, we're in the midst of the collapse of America. God is bringing those nations against America, right? So, let me go a little further on this, because I got to get to something. Let's flip back a page or something. A chapter or something. Yeah, here we are. America is falling. Her doom is sealed. Here's another one of these chapters that I was telling you about. So he want to reiterate something. And it says, and for all of you who celebrated Ramadan, we have the conclusion of Ramadan today. I was not able to fully take the fast because, I mean, this year I observed it in my own way, but I could not take it this year because of that new medication I took, and it makes me have a dry mouth all the time, and I have to drink water constantly. So that's why you are hearing me sipping right now. But anyway, I want you to look into this chapter. It's on page 273, and it's titled America is Falling, Her Doom is Sealed. Now, let me go to something real quick as I'm talking to you. Now, according, let's look at some words because we got to get an understanding of words. I love to give you an understanding of words because without that, we lose a significant portion of what is trying to be conveyed to us. So the word doom means death, destruction, or someone or something's of a terrible fate. Destruction, downfall, grim, terrible fate, ruin, ruination, rack and ruin, condemned to certain destruction or death. Okay? So now that we have an understanding of the word doom, because this is a key thing in that chapter, the title of that chapter, right? And another word that we must understand to get a full comprehension of what is trying to be conveyed to us is the word sealed. We go to the dictionary in the word sealed, and sealed is the past tense of the word sealed. It means to fasten or closely secure. To fasten, secure, shut, close up, bolt, board up, stop up. So he is telling us that America is falling. Her death, according to what doom is, or her destruction, or her demise, is what? All but done. It's secured. It's fastened. It's shut up. It's closed up. It's locked. It's bolted. It's boarded up. It's stopped up, right? According to the definition of those words. So now that we have an understanding of the title in this chapter, we can now get a deeper understanding of what is being conveyed by the words of the chapter. And he says, I compare the fall of America with the fall of ancient Babylon. Her wickedness, and in parentheticals, he puts the word sins, S-I-N-S. It's the same as history shows of ancient Babylon. Babylon is suddenly fallen, and the destroyed howl for her, take balm for her pains. If so, she may be healed. Jeremiah 51:81. What were the sins of ancient Babylon, he asked. According to history, she was rich. She was proud, and her riches increased her corruption. She had every merchandise that the nations wanted or demanded. Her ships carried her merchandise to the ports of every nation. Is that not an example of America? Huh? What do they often say? Oh, we don't worry about debt. We're the richest nation in the history of the world. Oh, we're going to sanction this nation. We're going to cut off this nation. They're not going to be able to import or export this and that, right? That's the arrogance of the nation because she was rich and powerful. All right, let's go further. She was a drunkard. Yeah, the alcohol consumed in America on a daily basis is unbelievable, but there's also something else about the drunkard part. That means that she was inebriated on her exceptionalism. She was filled with imperial hubris, cicated by the stench of war and reaping the profits of war. She was drunk on it, the same as Babylon. So it goes further and says, wine and strong drinks were in her daily practice. She was filled with adultery and murder. Matter of fact, in America now, if you don't commit adultery, if you don't commit murder, they look at you like you're pump, right? They have all these shows. Oh, I got a body count, and I did this, and I did that. Oh, I got 16 wives. I got this. The madness in this, okay? She persecuted and killed the people of God. Babylon did that. What is America doing on a daily basis with her Gestapo? Stopping and searching and killing black people on camera. And still, they get justified in the media. Hate and filthiness. Gambling and sports of every evil. 24 hours a day, right? Hate. Filthiness. Meaning all kinds of crazy. Gambling. Man, they got 24-hour gambling. They got casinos everywhere, right? Sports of every evil. America has more sports to bet on and to gamble on and to play on and to try to become an athlete than any country on the planet, right? It says, sports of every evil as you practice in America will practice in Babylon. Only America is modern and much worse. Ancient Babylon was destroyed by her neighboring nations. And listen to what he says here. I warn you to let their destruction serve as a warning for America. So, with that in mind, with the understanding of what he was trying to convey to us in mind, that she was similar to Babylon and her destruction would be similar to Babylon, and that no matter what you do, no matter how many torchlights that you burn for America, no matter how many offerings that you offer her to correct her wrong, what did Elijah Muhammad say? America is falling. Her doom or her destruction or her fall or her demise is sealed, boarded up, closed, right? No way around that. That's from the last messenger of God. So let us see, right, where America is at. As some nations, as the messenger say, she was destroyed, Babylon was destroyed by her neighboring nations. You know what? What we see today with America's policy all around the world, we're going to see that she loses big time. As Miranda says, she loses to Iran, not in the war itself, but she loses. She loses, meaning that she loses on a global scale in these surrounding nations, right? We'll bring her to her knees. This could mean America. I mean, this could mean Russia and China, but it also could mean those 10 horns of South and Central America, right? This is why they are so adamant about building that border fence. Remember, Biden was up in arms when Trump was trying to do it. And then quietly, when he took office, he whispered into the ear of the governor of Texas to reallocate money that was passed from the federal government to the Texas government for something else, to reallocate it to double speed, make double time on building up those border walls. No coincidence. They understand scripture. They understand prophecy. It is you who do not understand the time, what is coming, what must be done, and what is happening. All right? So we see this going on today. But we also see the great pushback from her enemies. I want you to listen closely to this. Matter of fact, I'm not going to even go to the other clip. I'm going to go to the Muhammad Mirandi clip due to the fact that there's something very important about this. And I see the time is limited. I believe I might be able to get it in if I can play these short clips. Would you, brothers and sisters, give me, if we run low on time, would you, brothers and sisters, give me a few extra minutes or something so that I can get these clips in? Because it's very important that you understand what is going on, what's taking place right now that they're not telling you about. So this clip here is about China openly backing Russia in the dispute, America and NATO, right? And this sets a precedence because China normally does not say anything. China normally is a hands-off person and looks towards building itself up. But for China to first warn NATO, they missed that part, that Russia is not alone, and to not push too hard and too far on Russia's security interests, and then to follow that up with publicly announcing that China fully backs Russia's position over America and NATO. That's major there. Because this shows you that, as Elijah Muhammad taught you, the last and the greatest lessons of God taught you, that these poles of power, as they shift from east to, from west to east, it would put America in a very precarious place, a place that she had not known before. And it would drive her crazy. Let's listen. This is 5 minutes, so pay close attention, okay?
Vladimir Putin.
Nope. I stopped it for a second. I'm getting some. I wanted to make sure that it played. Excuse me, brother, because I see some popping across the screen. You know how they mess with the dashboard. So hold on 1 second. Let me play it again for you. Here we are, right here.
Vladimir Putin and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping held a video conference today, both publicly committed to strengthening their ties amid increasing strained relations between East and West. RT's Igor Zhdanov has the report.
It comes amid, as both nations, they face very similar geopolitical challenges, and most of them are coming from half the world away from the United States. Both nations, both Russia and China, are no stranger to NATO bolstering its military presence either close to the national borders or when it comes to China in the Asia Pacific, in an area that China, that Beijing views as its own backyard. Here, both Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping, they criticize the so-called AUKUS deal, saying that, well, essentially it undermines, well, the global nuclear stability and that it is essentially a threat to global security. Have a listen.
Concern was expressed about the activity of the Americans in reconfiguring the current situation in the Asia-Pacific region. And in this regard, both from our side and from the Chinese side, a negative assessment was expressed about the creation of new alliances such as the Indo-Pacific Quad and the American Anglo-Australian Union, AUKUS.
Basically, this AUKUS deal is the United States and the UK uniting and helping Australia create its own, basically expand its nuclear capabilities, expand the nuclear capabilities of its fleet. This is an attempt by Washington and London to make Australia into more of an atomic superpower. In fact, on the side note, this deal has already caused quite a scandal between the allies, because initially France was about to do more or less the same, but Washington and London, well, they muscled out their partner, their ally Paris, out of a very lucrative contract. But going back to the meeting between this virtual conference between Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping, they also expressed a desire to move further away from exchanges in dollars when it comes to bilateral trade and, well, increase the volume of deals in local currencies. In fact, staying with the subject of economy, Vladimir Putin has revealed that more than 150 million of doses of Russia's vaccines against COVID, Sputnik V and Sputnik Light, will be produced in China as contracts with six Chinese firms have been signed. And in general, during 2021, the amount, the volume of bilateral trade has increased by 31%, which is basically, it has reached levels higher than before the pandemic. So there you have it. It seems both leaders, they see eye to eye, and this meeting, this virtual summit, seems to have lamented the alliance between Moscow and Beijing.
All right, let's go now to George Galloway. He's a former UK MP, for his perspective on this growing Xi-Putin relationship. So, George, Russia and China have been allies for a long time, this we know, but the Xi support of Vladimir Putin's approach on this NATO encroachment really underscores, I think, a new world dawning. Does this allude then to the end of Western hegemony in the new century, and is that a good thing?
Yes and yes, but it depends how old you are if you think they've been allies for a long time. In my lifetime, just in my lifetime, most of the years of my lifetime, the split between China and the former Soviet Union was absolute. and absolutely disastrous in many, many places. So well done, Western governments. You have pushed two countries that were formerly enemies as close together as it's possible to imagine. Effectively now one country, certainly in military terms, certainly in global strategic terms, increasingly in economic terms and in financial terms. So in trying to pursue a war on two fronts, making an enemy of Russia and an enemy of China, our governments have pushed Russia and China entirely together. So it's a triumph of statecraft. It is not, of course. But the sun is rising in the east. There was no reason for it, therefore, to set in the west. We had a choice to have good relations with these rising powers, Russia rising again since the days of Boris Yeltsin when it was lying drunk on the floor and having its pocket picked. Putin has made Russia great again. And China was always on a curve to be great. Now we've got two great powers acting in concert. As I say, it's the fruit of disastrous, bad foreign policy.
So, here we are with this. And I'm going to play the next few clips. I know the time is limited, but you're going to have to bear with me. What did Elijah Muhammad say? That God has made the whole world turn against America in order to destroy her. So he turns enemies into allies to forge an alliance against America. You see this? Now, on shows that I did nearly a decade ago, I told you, over a decade ago, 12 years, I was telling you at the time that when you read Fall of America, Message to the Black Man, Our Savior Has Arrived, The Theology of Time, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was addressing that opposing power of the white world, the opposing power of America, he didn't say the Soviet Union. Even though the Soviet Union was the bloc that was the what they call the Eastern Bloc against America and NATO, he always told you that it was Russia. See, he saw this down the wheel of time. While everybody else was talking about the Soviet Union, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Russia and America, the two great powers of the white world. He pushed aside that because he knew all of that was window dressing. And when he spoke of this yellow man, he told you that he had a destiny to fulfill. And we see them rising to the occasion because Russia and America must duke it out. China and America must duke it out. Persia and America must duke it out. This is to break her power globally, and they are moving in such a way that you don't understand. Myanmar, whatever it's called now, Burma, I think that's what it's called. I know it was called Burma. Now it's called Myanmar. And about four or five other nations. You didn't know this, but it's coming out in deeper context on Patreon. Myanmar or Burma, whichever one you want to call. And four or five other nations recently, in the last few weeks, has turned to China under closed diplomatic doors. And they have chosen to take the Chinese yuan as their currency over the U.S. dollar. They're pushing it aside. This is why America's up in arms and doing what she's doing now, because she's losing. It's like a domino effect. You didn't know this stuff because they don't tell you that in the news. But if you go to the Red Pill Diaries or the premium part of the Hiram 1555 blog, you get this long before it comes out in the news. So there's a move on the dollar. There's a move to collapse the American system, because without the dollar, remember the dollar, the U.S. dollar, is the life's blood to the empire's expansionism through her military prowess. Without the dollar, the empire goes belly up. So they are attacking her in multiple ways. But listen, Brother Gerald, I'm going to bring you in. Let me get to this second clip, which is like a two-minute clip. I'll bring you in after that clip, and then after I bring you in, let's see. Yeah, no, it's two-minute clips. And then I'll bring you in, and then after that, I'll play the 10-minute clip so that they can understand what's going on, okay? brother, be patient with your brother. All right. So here's the second clip. All right.
Bad foreign policy.
Now, on that note, George, President Xi seemed to sympathize with Vladimir Putin on being subjected to scores of U.S. sanctions. So here we are. China is, you know, swiftly working on the Belt and Road Initiative, infrastructure in Africa, and so on. The U.S. foreign policy seems focused on retribution and punitive measures. How long can such an ideology on foreign policy last?
It's already running out of time. The threat against Russia to cut it out of the SWIFT system merely means that Russia and China will now do business in each other's local currencies. As a matter of fact, we haven't just pushed Russia and China together. We pushed Russia and China together with Iran and, almost unbelievably, increasingly with India. Even the UAE, a puppet state, one thought, of the United States, is canceling its American warplane order because the U.S. tried to dictate to it where, how it could use the weapon it was paying billions of dollars to the Americans to buy. So this policy of sanction, browbeating, bullying is inevitably running out of time once you are no longer the biggest bully in the playground.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's afraid of the biggest boy in the playground. But when there's lots of big boys, some of them younger, fitter, more virile than Joe Biden's USA, people have got choices, Manila.
We'll leave that there. George Galloway, thank you so much.
So what's amazing about this clip is, as he was talking, I looked down when he said, it's running out of time. America's system of governance and her way of life is running out of time. I looked down to the chapter that we discussed in the Message of the Black Man, which means America is falling, her doom is sealed. Remember that? Remember the definition we got on that? Now, while he was talking, after he said that statement, I put in meaning of running out of time. And according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it means to have no more time to do or complete something. We ran out of time and didn't finish the project, meaning that this is the end. It's over. The doom is sealed. So no matter where you look at it, I'm proving to you Elijah Muhammad's teachings. I'm going into definitions. I'm playing you the clips. We're going into the geopolitics, the economics of the thing. And you still act like you can't comprehend it. I'm telling you. Like the message say, some of you are so dead that God himself can't help you, meaning that you are so dead that God won't waste his time with you. Go to this next clip, the short clip, which talks about the dollar and why America's moving like she's moving. You heard what it said, Russia and China, they've already set up their own interpayment systems that are the alternative to the U.S. European-dominated SWIFT system. And they've already set up currency swap deals. I told you on all of those shows. I told you this was coming and more nations was going to join in. And what did he say? This was George Galloway, who was an MP multiple years in the British Parliament, saying this stuff. I told you this stuff. But he's saying it now. You didn't want to hear it when we was telling you this on the show, but you're listening to it from a white man. My black people, I tell you what. But let's listen to this next clip here. Here we go. Right here. If they allow it.
Downloading the Affordable TV app today. It's new and improved because it's TV as it should be. We'll be right back. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are back in the news cycle, but this time they're on the same side. Yep, you heard that right. While the two may see a rematch in 2024, there's one topic they do agree on, and that's campaigning against Bitcoin and other crypto. Distinguished journalist Glenn Greenwald discussed this very topic recently on his Rumble channel and underscores that no matter what side of the aisle, money should stay green, according to politicians. So for his take on all of that, we'll bring in investigative journalist and co-host of Boombust, Ben Swan. Now, Ben, you are the in-house crypto expert here. Tell us what this is all about. Why are Hillary and Trump both anti-Bitcoin?
Well, I don't think it's just that they're anti-Bitcoin. They're anti anything that upsets the framework of the U.S. dollar. And I think even though they're both saying similar things, they have kind of different reasons for it. Look, I think Trump, one of the reasons that he calls Bitcoin such a threat is because he likes the U.S. dollar. Why wouldn't he? He's a billionaire. And when you have enormous wealth, the system that is in place currently works for him. People forget that even though Trump is a populist, he's also a person, and that person has benefited greatly from the financial structures that are in place right now. At the same time, Hillary Clinton has also benefited extremely well from those financial systems, but she's also a globalist, and she believes in the power and the strength of that U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. The bottom line is they're both correct in that they say that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are a threat to the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. They're right about that. But I don't think that's a bad thing, and many other people don't think it is as well.
So you see the rumbling on, but he said something very interesting in this that I've been talking to you about. When white people are talking about that they want a reset of the system, or they want to rebuild, destroy the system and set up a new one, and he said something very similar to what I've always told you. The reason there is a judgment, right, is to try out all of the things that you think and that you believe in to see which one sticks and which ones don't, right? And if there's a judgment, which there is, that is to remove a system and the people who have benefited from the system. Because if you remove the system and you leave the people, they just reintroduced and rebuild that which they benefited from, right? He's saying almost the exact same thing. But when I say it, it's racist, huh? All praise due to Allah. Let me get my brother here real quick before I play this other clip. Brother Jerry, I say to you, assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Well, assalam, sir. How you feeling this morning, black man?
Brother, I'm feeling like $1 million, but well, a $1 million prior to 1971.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah, brother. I wasn't even going to ask that because I already hear it in that articulation in your voice and the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, brother. You're on fire, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All praise is due to Allah. I wanted to just kind of expound on what your teacher spoke on, actually, about the it's called the Miracle Engine. That's the hypersonic engine that China had created, and for hypersonic missiles and so forth. It's actually for your listeners and everything. It's on a Global Times, the mouthpiece for China's news agency. You can go over there in Global Times. You can read the article there, and as well. Happy Ramadan to all the followers of Elijah Muhammad. We only have a few days left, but happy Ramadan as well to you and your family, brother. But
yes,
I wanted
sir.
To
Thank
kind
you,
of touch
brother.
On, when we better understand the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the making of the white man, we can better understand the purposes as to why he was made. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that Allah God created in himself over 76 trillion years ago. And in his creation, he has always made his creation where the gods can improve upon their creation. And in the mm-hmm. creation and in that improvement, there were several setbacks, one being 66 trillion years ago when one of our scientists planted dynamite in the center of the earth and tried to blow up the earth because he actually wanted all of the people to speak the same language. So what happened was, in that explosion, a part of the earth had blew off, which we actually see, which is the moon. The messenger said at that time the earth was 35,000 miles in circumference, which now a portion of it was blew off. So now the circumference of our planet is 25,000 miles. And so the major setbacks in the creation of the God who created the heavens and the earth, Allah. And 16,000 years ago, there was another setback with the with our Indian brothers who actually had went against the orders and the understanding of Islam, which the Indians had basically broke the codes of Islam in their conduct, and so they were actually scattered in different parts of the earth. And then so in those setbacks, we had to the God had to go in and basically fine-tune, his creation and kind of somewhat bring that imperfection that was inside of us. A lot of us say, you know, it was experimental in the making of the white man. But when we understand the purpose of it, that they had to go into the depths as to what was going on in these setbacks. So what the guy did was he was able to go into the genetic makeup of the black man, which we had a brown germ that was in us. And then so in that brown germ, he was able to bring out another people. And that other people was actually the white man himself. The white man actually was made from the black man. He was not a created man. He was a made man. The God in the beginning is a created man. Creation is something in which you can't reproduce, but you can make a people over and over. And so in the making of this man and bringing him out of us, we made a people that was opposite of us. And so in short, in making him, there was a lot of lying and murdering that was going on through those 600 years in making the white man. So therefore, thinking of him, lying and murdering was going on. So it became embedded and rooted in the nature of the people. So what you see today transpiring in the way of why he kills and murders and lies and steals, it was embedded in his nature. Because when Yaqub, the father of the devil, was making his man, he had was explained to all of those who were involved in the making of the man how to lie and to the original people in the making of the production of the children or the babies, would tell the mother that if the child was dark, that the child had died or, you know, it was eaten up by a wild animal or whatever. And so then the lie to the mother was that so she would believe that the baby had actually, died and basically was so she wouldn't have any other explanation. And so then now if it was a light baby that was produced, then of course they would save the light baby because that was a part of the making process or the grafting process. And then so as this process continued on in 600 years, these people in their making. So what you have now in the making of these people, devils, you basically had to understand why the white man in his making was that for the black man to understand the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you had to see the introduction of the making of his people. So the God in the beginning in his creation, he had to make these people in such a way, whereas the evil of them had to be exposed or brought out in such an evil practice. So, you know, that's basically kind of somewhat of an understanding of why the white man was made. So, yes, sir. Go ahead and continue on, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir, my brother. Wa alaikum salam. Now, I'm going to jump on something real quick that he just said, okay? Here, and I can't address everything, but I do want to address something about him talking about the lying and murdering and killing that was practiced in the making of them and how that became a part of them. Now, this is from nature.com. Okay? So while he was talking, I just Googled. You know, I put in, do environmental factors affect genetics? That's what I put in. And in here, it says, listen, environmental factors such as food, drugs, or exposure to toxins can cause epigenetic changes by altering the way molecules bind to DNA or changing the structure of proteins that DNA wraps around. So when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave you this understanding about how murdering and lying around with the process of grafting white people and how it became the very essence of their DNA, science bears witness to that now. It bears witness to that. I just read it to you. The environment also shapes a person. Okay? So this is what I just wanted you to hear and see. But I got to go to this clip. I know that was a little off topic, but I had to address that and he had to address that. But I want you to listen to this clip. This clip is 10 minutes, okay? And in this, they'll be going back and forth, and they'll be talking about the JCPOA, which is the nuclear agreement that Donald Trump, well, that Barack Obama violated after having Kerry to sign the deal and have Iran to sign the deal. Obama violated from the very letter and spirit. Then Trump comes in and he violates it, and then he just withdraws from it after all of the warnings from the previous administration not to withdraw from it, because it'll lead to nations turning against America, and then the outing of the dollar as the world reserve currency, as we just heard, other nations are moving away from that, and political turmoil for the American way of governance and the demise of the way of America's system. We see that. But also, they talk in here about the politics, the culture of America, and all of this stuff, and they come to some conclusion. I want you to listen to this, because this is very, very important to you. And then maybe I'll be able to address it for 2 minutes after it's over. Give me 12 minutes, okay? This is 10 minutes, 10 seconds. Give me 12 minutes and 40 seconds, I guess. All right, brothers and sisters? Well, listen closely to this.
How, you know, how Eurocentrism and how this, you know, it's, and I, they'll be insulted if they watch this, but it's sort of like the, you know, the whole house Negro, field Negro, you know, the Brown Sahib, all
yeah,
these
I mean,
notions.
We have them, and like the people, it's such a colonized mentality. It's just it's the people in Lebanon who are like this as well. They'll like go on these
I know,
panels,
exactly.
Stop right there for a second. I have to say this. When he said that, you could tell she was uncomfortable when he said it. But he was right. He was so she spoke up real quick about something. She was trying to like hurry him up off that to address some other issues. But he was right. Remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we are the root cause of America's fall, because she would not do justice by us, and the other people around the world would see it in the day of judgment. And they would make mock of America for her mistreating of you and I. See, this is international politics right here. You don't get that on CNN, ABC, MSNBC, Fox News. I'm letting you hear this stuff. So listen closely to this, okay?
You know, how Eurocentrism and how this, you know, it's, and I, they'll be insulted if they watch this, but it's sort of like the, you know, the whole house Negro, field Negro, you know, the Brown Sahib, all
yeah,
these
I mean,
notions.
We have them, and like the people in it's such a colonized mentality. It's just it's the people in Lebanon who are like this as well. They'll like go on these
I know,
panels
exactly.
that you're talking about, yeah. and they'll ask the Americans like, why aren't you sanctioning us more? Like they actually
yeah.
call for like the West to please attack our country more and strangle us more. Like it's absurd and actually like the most treacherous thing imaginable, in my opinion.
Of course, in Iran, they're not, their numbers are not like in Lebanon.
Yeah.
But many elites, and many elites are, maybe they don't think that way, but they're so deeply influenced by Western narratives.
Mm.
So they watch, you know, BBC Persian. And when you tell them, you know that BBC Persian is funded by the British government. You know that they're pursuing British policy. You know that the narrative that they're building and the news that they're, you know, and they have this online cyber armies, which, you know, just like with the attack that, just like what you've been on the receiving end for Ethiopia, you
yeah.
get all these, you
like
know,
bots.
I,
like a bot attack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was getting the same thing from these Iranians when I was there, when I was in Vienna being attacked. And they were actually saying that I'm an American. These pro-American people think I'm the American. It's so funny. Sometimes I just couldn't stop laughing at some of the things that they were saying about me simply because I was in the media defending Iran,
yeah.
just as I've been doing for the last, I don't know, 15 years.
You know, it really is a testament to cultural hegemony that doesn't get talked about enough, the Western cultural hegemony that even in countries like Iran that have like this really strong revolutionary spirit in government, it's still like you can't, you have this constant threat through media, through cinema, through like all of this Western-created culture and art that actually seeps in and really colonizes people's minds. It's such a challenge. But, you know, I wanted to ask you about the issue of the threats of war, because, you know, Biden has reportedly asked his national security advisor, who you mentioned earlier, Jake Sullivan, you mentioned in those emails to Hillary Clinton, was saying that Al-Qaeda is on our team in Syria. But Biden asked Jake Sullivan to review the Pentagon's revised plan to take military action if the diplomatic effort collapsed. And this is happening while we saw American officials, like I mentioned, tighten rather than loosen sanctions on Iran. So it seems, increasingly seems to me that war between the U.S. and Iran is like on this almost like inevitable path that kind of, you know, there's obstacles in the way every so often, but it seems like no matter what Iran does, it's almost like unless it surrenders and turns into, like I mentioned, a subservient ally like, you know, Jordan or the surrounding Gulf states, unless it does that, the U.S. is on a war path, no matter who's in charge. Do you think that, I mean, maybe I'm being alarmist to say that, or maybe I'm, you know, it's a bit extreme or dramatic, but what's your reaction to what I just said?
Well, let me first go back to another very interesting tweet that I had. I sort of responded to this argument because the Americans constantly, you know, they've been saying for years, all options are on the table. You know, the military option is a plan B. And they've been saying this for years and over the past few weeks and months under Biden, under Trump, under Obama. And I wrote in a tweet a couple of weeks ago, I suppose. I said, you know, the Americans, if the Americans launch a war against Iran, all their bases and all their allies in the region, they'll be devastated. And this, they'll, you know, the Emirates and other countries, all those countries that have U.S. bases, those countries will cease to exist. They're tiny countries.
Right.
And, you know, they won't survive. Then the Russians and the Chinese, which are U.S. rivals, for them, it would be an opportunity to take what they believe need to do what they need, they feel needs to be done, whether it's in supporting their Russian brothers and sisters in eastern Ukraine, or whether it is to liberate Taiwan. You know, if the Americans are waging a war, which they can't win.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was, and the tweet I said, so all this would happen. So the smart thing is for the Americans to agree with the JCPOA.
Right.
And then some of these liberal influencers in Iran said, oh my God, this guy wants to start a war. He's going to I write a tweet with my tweet, World War III is going to start. In the tweet, I'm saying how bad it would be for the Americans if they did such a stupid thing.
Yeah.
And the Americans are always talking about plan B and C and D and, you know, and doing this and that anyway, but that's how hostile they are.
Jesus.
And so they attack me and say, look at this guy. He wants to start a war. He's going to start a war. This delegation is going to start a war.
Very powerful man.
Yeah, exactly. So they want to silence the, you know, resistance to the never-ending demands of the Americans and the Europeans. And the interesting thing is that the Iranian position is so simple. Because before the JCPOA is signed, many of these liberals were saying, you're the problem. You know, you, because of the nuclear program, and because you didn't negotiate with Americans and Europeans, you're leading us down the road to sanctions and whatever. So ultimately, the Iranians negotiated the deal. Now, as I said, the deal, in my opinion, wasn't a good deal. I don't think it was a horrific deal, but it was a deal.
Yeah.
So now this administration is saying, okay, let's revive the deal. It's not our favorite deal. It's not something we love, but we'll implement it anyway. And the president of the United States was a part of the administration that devised the deal. So Iran, what Iran is demanding is not, it's very difficult for Westerners to impose their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult for them to convince ordinary Iranians, even though liberals in Iran and their Persian language media and their online armies are trying to do so and say how the problem lies in Tehran rather than in the West. But it's very difficult for them to do that.
Yeah.
But So with regard to making their case, the Americans and the Europeans are not going to make much headway, despite a lot of effort and despite the hard work of their allies, who make me sound like a war hawk or something. But the point that I make is actually, I think, a very important point. And that is that the United States, which just had to flee Afghanistan, do they really want to contemplate war with Iran? Because if the Americans strike Iran, Iranian drones and missiles and Iranian forces and Iranian allies across the region will destroy U.S. bases. But more than that, those countries that are in any way or form involved in this aggression, that have American bases, that let them use their airspace, that, you know, let their drones and planes fly over, all of them will be devastated. And all those countries, everything they have is right alongside the Persian Gulf coast or in the Persian Gulf itself. It's not as if it's like some far off targets. Mm-hmm. And if Iran begins to hammer them, then Ansarullah, the Houthis in Yemen, Iran's allies in Iraq, Iran's allies across the region.
It's a regional war, yeah.
There will be a regional war, and they will have the upper hand because those Iranian antagonists will be devastated. How can they resist Yemen any longer? How can they resist, you know, the people who they've been trying to crush across the region when they're being hammered by Iran? And they have no defense.
Right.
Everything is right alongside the Iranian coast, and the Iranian drone capabilities and missile capabilities and naval capabilities, all of them are very expensive. So if the Americans want to devastate Iran, they can, but they'll be devastated too. It's a sort of mad, it's a sort of mutual assured destruction. It's not as if the United States mainland will be crushed or destroyed, but it will devastate the U.S. economy, which is already devastated.
Right.
So, and then who would be the big loser, China or the United States, Russia or the United States? It would be the United States would lose. So the United States can harm Iran,
but at what cost?
It will lose. It will lose. Yeah. It will lose in a way in which it has never lost before. It will be the end of the United States as an empire, and possibly with what's going on in the United States, the end of the United States. I'm serious about that, with all the divisions that we see in the country. So,
see, now, there's a few things I need to address real quick. Now, he talked about if America moves on Iran. Now, we know that Iran is historically Persia. But we know that will take place because, as a matter of fact, they used to have a saying under Dick Cheney. What was that saying? Let me pull it up real quick. It said under Dick Cheney and George Bush, real men want to go to Tehran. They say anybody can go to Baghdad, but real men want to go to Tehran, meaning they want to make war against Iran. And one of the main things that war criminal and sociopath, former Vice President Dick Cheney, said was one of his greatest regrets is that he didn't attack Iran and Iraq at the same time. That was one of his greatest regrets. I'm telling you, these people are sociopaths, psychopaths. And so he says, he talks about the Eurocentric mind. Where do y'all hear that from? You didn't hear people talking about the Eurocentric mind until the Star and Crescent Report. Be honest about this. And then he talks about that this thing will go regional. Who told you these things? Huh? When the war against Persia takes place, this will not be just a single nation against a single nation. This will be a regional conflagration. It will be a MENA war, Middle Eastern, North African war, as I told you. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings are right and exact. And he also said, he talked about when they do it, he said, what do you think China and Russia will do? Taiwan. Maybe Russia moves on Ukraine. I could have swore we've been talking about this on this show for the longest. I could have swore that. I know we have been telling you these things, and now you hear it from a scholar. This guy right here, not only is he an Iranian scholar and a professor at Tehran University, he is also one of the negotiators in Vienna right now of the JCPOA and its implement, confrontation between Iran and other six nations, or what, six or seven nations, okay? So he knows what he's talking about when it comes to this stuff. And he talks about all of this. America would destroy Iran, but she would lose. He's not talking about she would lose in the war against Iran. He said, but she would lose because this would be the end of the American empire and probably the end of America as a nation itself because of all of the division in America herself. Haven't we been telling you this stuff? I'm asking. Now, and then I ask you this. Did Elijah Muhammad come over to what they said, or did they come over to Elijah Muhammad's stance? And if they came over to Elijah Muhammad's stance, how did they come over? It is not that they just agreed with him. It was because of world events and situations that are taking place and that have taken place, and they are lining up to show them that if this happens, this will happen. And if this happens, this happens. You see? It's just as simple as that. Now, I have about 20 hands up in the chat. I want to apologize. I hate that you all put your hands up at the end of the show. We have so many people being patient with us. I'm going to take the first one up. I think Rashid. Yeah, Rashid is the first one up. And then, brothers and sisters, when we do the next show, please call back in, and I'll get y'all. I'm not playing favoritism. It's just that his hand is the first one up I see. It's at the top of the list. And if it would have been the 412 or something like that, if you would have been the first one, I would have got you too. But let me go to Brother Rashid before we end the show. I think he wants to say something. Brother, you have anything to say?
Can you hear me?
You there?
Can you hear me?
You muffled. You sound muffled.
You sound muffled. What about now?
You sound better now. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, all praise be to the honorable Elijah Muhammad, brother. All I for the honorable Elijah Muhammad, brother. That's all I want to say.
All right, my brother. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, I bear witness to him with that. Now, as we go out, I want you to contemplate. Think over these things that you have learned today. Think over those things that you've heard today. And tell me whether or not we prove these things, because we're showing you these things in real time. It's one thing to be said 40 years ago, all right? But to be able to prove them, to be able to show you tangible evidence. So the reality of what Elijah Muhammad says is another thing. This is your day. I don't want you to be sad, oh, we're about to be wiped out. Look at the murder rate in Black America. Look at this going on. Oh, they're killing us everywhere. Oh, they doing that. All of this is for purpose. Don't doubt God's word. The going may get rough, but listen. We are built for that. We are built for all of this that is taking place. You just got to be firm in it. You got to be determined in it. And if some of us lose our lives along the way, then it was Allah's will. All praise is due to Allah. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to say to you all, if you can, invite people to the show. Invite people to go to the Red Pill Diaries. If you can, donate. If not, just listen. It doesn't matter one way or the other. I'm going to stay on my post. I'm going to do what I'm going to do until I can't do it anymore. I'd like to thank you all for joining us. I'm going to go out the same way I always come in the name of my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God, Allah, Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, and our messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty Nation of Islam. Until we next speak again, remember to stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. With a full nation salute, I love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad.
produced by Nicole Muhammad and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day. That I like the moon I made.